We've been doing a lot of talking about the inner man and outward man. I think we've done a fairly good job of describing how you have an inner man that's born of God with a mind, emotions, and desires that are perfectly righteous and holy. But you're wearing an outward man that's of this earth, left over from Adam, which has a mind, desires, and emotions that are of your flesh. And we stopped. We described the mind. We did a lot of work talking about how you have a mind of the Spirit that holds the knowledge of God. And we're going to go into the emotional part, that your inner man has emotions of God, and the desire, the soulish part of it. But before we do that, I paused and I wanted to take some time and really discuss how transformation takes place. We'll start with that verse, Romans 12. Verse 1 and 2. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is the good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. So we see here that there is a job that needs to happen to all believers, that after they're born again, they must go through a transformation process. That means he's calling us believers caterpillars. You're born again, you're like a caterpillar, and if you want to walk in all that God has for you, you must transform, metamorphosize into a butterfly. Many Christians in the church world today are not focusing on transformation. They're focusing on trying to win the world and do good works, but they'll always remain like a caterpillar, trapped in their outward man's ability. But there's something more for you. And it doesn't matter what your outward man is like. It doesn't matter what your past is like, your struggles are like. Everyone has trouble. Everyone has struggles and wrong desires and brokenness and things that happened to us, bad choices in the past, things we struggle with. But there's a pathway for you to transform out of that old man and build the new man in Christ. And it's available for every believer with the help of the Holy Spirit. We're preaching this from the model of the inner man and outward man. That means that you have an inner man that's born of God that has to mature. You have an outward man of this earth that needs to be mortified and bow down to the inner man. And so when we read this word, be transformed by the renewing of your mind, many people under the model of I have a spirit, soul, and body, they're always a competition between their spirit and their soul. And you'll hear that language that, oh, I was speaking out of my spirit, or I had a bad day. I cussed when I hit my finger with a hammer. I didn't like it when someone cut me off in the road. I was out of my soul. The comparison is the soul needs to be renewed. And they're saying by filling the full of knowledge. Well, it's not wrong. But my job today is I want to try to show you how it works. I remember years ago being under one of the greatest faith teachers in the world who believed in confession. And that was kind of his main message. Confess the word, confess the word. And sure enough, by teaching people and challenging people to confess the word of God over their problems, we've seen many, many miracles. Many people healed of heart disease, cancer, so many testimonies of people who just faithfully can confess the word. I mean, 4 hours a day confessing the word over their situation. He understood, this preacher, great preacher, understood that confession worked. But the problem was he didn't understand how it worked. So after he'd teach a great message on confession, he would try to describe how it works. Well, when you confess, you're bothering God, he would say. You have to bother God with his words to get his attention. So he will finally say, stop bothering me and heal you. Well, I learned that that's not how it works, that confession doesn't work by bothering God. God already gave his son for you to be healed. He already paid the price for your healing. He wants you healed more than you do. And he wants your children saved more than you do. And so even though he got the action right, that if you confess the word over and over and over again, the engineering part of how it works, he didn't quite understand. So he had a lot of great testimonies, but he thought it was by you bothering God with your words. And I can prove to you in Scripture that it doesn't work that way. It's confession builds you up, not God. God's not the one stuck in us receiving our miracle. Our unbelief is the problem. And confession helps you to change, not to change God. Well, I see that same pattern with the Holy Spirit praying in tongues. After you do it for a while, you begin to believe in it because it works. It begins to change. Your thinking changes. You love more. And so many people who really practice praying in tongues know that it changes your life. But a lot of people don't know how it works. And when you understand how it works, it makes you really see, I need to pray in tongues. I need to worship God. If I really want to transform. Transformation is different than changing. I'm going to change my life. I want to make changes. See, transformation is you becoming something, not you changing something. Many people know how to take their old man and wash it in the blood of Jesus, but it's still the old man. And the scripture tells us to put on the new man. We had one young man who I love who spent years praying in tongues. When I found him, I encouraged him to pray in tongues. And he did it, man. He prayed in tongues and was really sold out to for years. And then all of a sudden, he started to see victory. Things begin to change. And he had a hard time with a certain sin. And he got a revelation that, oh, I don't have to sin. I can stop sinning. And he said, oh, gee, all those years of praying in tongues, and all I had to do was stop it. And he began to preach against praying in tongues so much. You don't need to spend so much time in the prayer closet. Just say no to sin. Just stop it. I've seen that happen many times when people begin to get victory. They see that they are a new creature. They are a new creation. And that they've been set free from sin. Where did that revelation come from? Where did that strength in him to see the issue? And to not just accept it, but be able to believe it, that I am free from this sin. I don't have to do it anymore. And so he went around the world telling everyone, just stop sinning. Just stop sinning. And you find out that a lot of people want to stop sinning, but they struggle with the outward man. Yes, we can all stop sinning the moment we're saved, but really what you're missing is a transformation. And so he did not understand what happened to him in all those hours of praying in tongues, all those years of praying tongues, that it had built him up to see a truth. And once he's seen it, then he can live in it forever. Well, you can't pass that on, that knowledge on to someone else. They have to get the same transformation. And so I want to describe today how transformation takes place in this part of the series. I stopped teaching about the mind, emotions, and desires of the inner man, so that we can see transformation. How does it work when I pray in tongues? How do I change? Let's go over to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. And just stay with me. I want to try to paint a picture for you today. And hopefully clear up some verses for you. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 16. Therefore, do not lose heart, even though our outer man is perishing. So we know the outer man is perishing. Yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. So underline the word renewed, because you see that the inward man is where the renewing takes place. The spirit, soul, and body understanding says, I need to renew my thinking. You're not wrong, but I want to explain how that works. Because many people think, I just need to think differently. I'm already perfect in Christ. I'm already mature in Christ. I'm a full child of God. I just need to think like that person. I need to stop thinking like the old man and think like the new man. And their philosophy is, change your thinking. And because of that, a lot of worldly ideas of how to make a habit in 30 days and how to dress and conform that outward man to be holier rather than transforming, where you become what the Word says, instead of just talking what the Word says, you become what the Word says. So we see in this verse that the renewing takes place in the inner man. When you see that you have a spiritual mind, that's the beginning of the process, that the renewing takes place in this inner man's mind. And I'll give you another verse in Colossians chapter 3, verse 9 and 10. Do not lie to one another, since you put off the old man with his deeds. So you're putting off the old man. That's the outward man's ideas, philosophies, theology, the outward man's ambitions, desires. You're putting that old man off. You're not to clean up the old man. You're to put him off, or it says to put to death the members that are on earth, to put those things to death. Anything from the old man that is contrary to the Scripture must be put to death. So this is the process we've read about transformation. And have put on the new man, verse 9, and do not lie to one another, since you put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge according to the image of him who created him. So we can see that in the inner man, the new man, we are to renew it in knowledge. So that gives us a glimpse of how this works, that the knowledge of God bypasses the outward man and goes into the inner man. I can go to Galatians where he says, sow into the Spirit and you'll reap everlasting life. The process of renewing, of transformation, isn't just downloaded from God. It is building up that inner man, the knowledge of the inner man, renewing that inner man's knowledge, building up that inner man. And then once that inner man is built up, it will begin to confront the outward man. Let's go back to 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 16, and look here. Therefore, do not lose heart, even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inner man is being renewed day by day. So you have the outward man and the inner man. In Galatians, he says it's the flesh against the spirit. In Colossians, it's the new man and the old man. And the new man, the inner man, must be built up. It must be renewed because it's like a newborn baby. It must be renewed in the knowledge of God. The outward man cannot contain the knowledge of God. Now, come over to Romans chapter 8. If you're taking notes, this is a good time to take notes. So we read about the inner man and outward man. In Romans 8:10, he begins to discuss the inner man and the outward man. And this verse 10 explains it. And if Christ is in you, okay, the body is dead because of sin, but the spirit is life because of righteousness. So this verse, starting verse 10, is talking about the inner man and the outward man, or the new man and the old man, or the flesh versus the spirit man. If Christ is in you, that is your new nature. When you see the word Christ in you, you see righteousness. When you see the word light, when you see the word image, that's all referring to that new nature. So when you're born again, you receive that new nature. That's a perfect new nature of righteousness. And it brought to life and rebirthed your spiritual man, the inner man. We call it the reborn human spirit. That God didn't create that human spirit out of nothing. He rebirthed it the same way you were reborn. But he didn't rebirth the outward man. The flesh, the outward man, the outward body was left in darkness. Meaning now you have an inner man of light and an outward man of darkness. No wonder why they fight against each other. The flesh lusts against the spirit and the spirit against the flesh, because they're contrary to one another. So much in the church world, I call it the carnal church, carnal tree of ministry. So many churches are focused on cleaning up the outward man, making it act like Jesus, trying to be like Jesus. it's okay because they're going to do good works and they're still going to get to heaven. And that's the most important thing, is filling heaven up with people. But transformation says it's not about fixing up the old man to be better. It's not about dressing up the old man to look like Jesus. It's about putting off the old man and putting on the new man. The new man has to grow and mature. And I'm getting to how it works. When a revelation comes to me and I understand the truth in the Bible, I could say, well, the Holy Spirit told me that. But really, he told me that years ago when I was praying in tongues. He taught me that. And because he taught me that, that knowledge came forward from the inner man, confronted the outward man's thinking. So I didn't change my thinking when I accepted a truth that I seen. I changed where I think from, and I mortified the thinking that I lived in my carnal man. It's important you see this, because many Christians are seeking a Holy Ghost move of God. They're seeking a touch of God from the atmosphere, a touch of God from his glory, a touch of God from his anointing, a touch of God from a preacher laying hands on you or prophesying over you. I'm going to activate you, bring you to the next place. I'm going to help you to go further in God. And so many Christians are seeking a relationship with God from the outside. And you know my verse I'm going to go to here is in John chapter 14. We'll come back to Romans 8 here in a minute. John 14, started in 16. And I'll pray the Father, and he'll give you another helper, that he may abide with you forever. The Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. So Jesus is telling his disciples, who are at this moment, the disciples are not born again. They're under Jesus, under his authority. They're clean by his teaching, his words. But they're not born again. If they don't accept Jesus later on, when he's glorified, they won't go to heaven. They have to get born again like all of us. And he says to them, the Father is going to send the Holy Spirit to be your teacher. You know him, for you dwell with him, or he dwells with you. So that tells us there's a relationship available with the Holy Spirit for unsaved believers in the old covenant, who not born again believers, who can hear the Holy Spirit, feel the Holy Spirit, experience the Holy Spirit, and see the Holy Spirit work in their life, and they're not even born again. And that's my concern with the modern church, the spiritual ones who are hungry for a move of God, is they are training people how to experience the Holy Spirit from outside, dwelling with them. The Holy Spirit was always here, but once you're born again, now he can do a work in you. And that's his preferred way of transformation. That's the best way to hear the Holy Spirit, to experience and build a relationship with the Holy Spirit, is within you, not from without you, without of you, outside of you. And when you think about many conferences, it's all about the glory cloud. Some go so extreme, they're talking to angels every day, they're going to heaven every day. One guy told me, he said, man, that preacher's so good, he has encounters with Jesus every day or every week. And I remember saying, well, yeah, that's great, but really our best teacher, the teacher that Jesus gave us, was the Holy Spirit. You can, and God will work with your outward man and work with that kind of carnal Christianity where you're always looking outside. You're looking to receive from heaven a download and receive an anointing, receive an open heaven and a glory cloud and all those things. They're not bad. Please don't get me wrong. They're not bad, but there's a more excellent way, and that is the Holy Spirit working in you. And I don't want the church world to spend their whole life experiencing the Holy Spirit on the outside and missing out on the power to really transform, which is allowing the Holy Spirit to work inside of you. And so the renewing process, the changing, the transformation process is not just receiving things from the outside. I used to think when I was out soul winning and all of a sudden the anointing would come on me and I'd be able to give scripture or share things to people, the man, the Holy Ghost just gave it to me, like he was on the outside speaking to me. And if that's all you ever allow him, he'll give you that. But there's a greater way, and it is transformation. And we see, I'm back in Romans 8, we see here that Paul's beginning to describe this process of transformation. And he starts in verse 10, Romans 8, verse 10. And if Christ is in you, that's the new nature, the body is dead because of sin. That's your outward man. The outward body is dead because of sin. It's left in darkness. It was not saved when you were born again. Boy, what a way to fill the church. A woman brings her husband to church. He gets saved. He goes down to the altar, kneels down, stands up, and he's got a new body. I mean, he's got all his hairs back. He's lost 50 pounds. He's handsome. His clothes went from raggedy clothes to a suit and tie. And now he walks back, and when they go home, he opens the door for her. I mean, that'd be great if our outward man got saved like our inner man. The outward man's not born again yet. The outward man will be born again when the trumpet sounds. That's the finishing work of your salvation. But right now, you're stuck with an outward body, an outward man, with his mind, emotions, and desires that are limited. They're limited. So if Christ is in you, that's the new nature. The body is dead because of sin. The body is left in darkness, is left in death, because it's been stained by the sin nature that used to be there. The body does not have a nature. The outward man has been stained by the old nature that used to be there. Now your inner man is born again and has a new nature, but the outward man is left in darkness. If Christ is in you, the body is dead because of sin. Then it says, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. There's that word righteousness. So now it's saying that the Spirit is life because of righteousness. And that's how I know this is talking about the Spirit, meaning the inner man. Because he's comparing the inner man that's being renewed day by day with the outward man that is perishing. See, this verse is not the Holy Spirit from outside of you, zapping you and fixing you. It is telling you how the inward man has been brought to life because of righteousness. So Paul, in the next verses, is beginning to describe this battle of the inner man and the outward man. You have a new nature. The new nature is what he talks about in Romans 8, 1 through 9. But in Romans 10, he switches the focus to the inner man versus the outward man. The new man versus the old man. The flesh, the spirit versus the flesh. And so we're going to see how transformation takes place. How does this really work? And I wish that young man that stopped praying in tongues so much because he got a revelation that he was free. He was always free, but he didn't believe it, know it, understand it. He got that revelation, I'm free, I don't have to sin. And he's honest, he believes it, and he's a holy man. But then he tries to pass that truth to other people without helping them to go through the transformation process. And it's like he didn't give credit to all those years praying. I prayed in tongues for years and years, and all I had to do was stop sinning at the beginning. Wow, gee, I wasted all those time. No, that's the fruit of the time you spent praying in tongues. You're benefiting now from the fruit. And see, it feels like I'm changing my thinking. After I pray in tongues for a while, I think differently. So it feels like I'm just, yeah, we just have to change our thinking. But I want you to see how it really works. It's not that all of a sudden I prayed in tongues and now I think differently. Hold your finger there. We're going to come back. This is a very important message. Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 14. verse 14. For if I pray in a tongue, my spirit prays, but my understanding is unfruitful. That word understanding means intellect. And this is where a lot of people make fun of the faith people. Because, yeah, you just have to blind faith. You don't have to know anything. You're just supposed to be a dumb believer that just believes the word and has blind faith. No intellect to it, just, you know, and I've seen people who are, especially the ones who are intellectual, have a problem with this. It's just that they don't understand the process. That when I pray in a tongue, my intellect, my outward man is unfruitful. The mind of the outward man does not, the Holy Spirit doesn't talk to the outward man. He doesn't talk to the mind of the flesh. He talks and teaches the mind of the Spirit. The spirit in the mind. He teaches that mind of the spirit. And so when you pray in tongues for 2 hours, you don't know what you prayed. You have no idea what the Holy Spirit taught you. Here the teacher of teachers, the Holy Spirit, God, sat down with you and taught you through praying in tongues great mysteries and knowledge, ancient wisdom. And then I say, well, what did he tell you? He said, well, I don't know. I just prayed in tongues. Many believers think that praying in tongues is like an offering. I'm giving you 2 hours of my time in prayer and you're going to change me. And if that's all you know, that's all you need to know. Just keep praying in tongues and you'll figure it out. There's a practical picture here. If you read over in verse 2 of chapter 14, 1 Corinthians. For he who speaks in a tongue does not speak to man, but to God. For no one understands him. However, in the Spirit, he speaks mysteries. So we see here that when we speak in tongues, we're speaking to God. No one understands what you're saying. This is your personal prayer language. That you're speaking the mysteries, the ancient knowledge of God. And then we see that when you pray in tongues, your intellect is unfruitful. See, when you pray in tongues, the Holy Spirit does not talk to your outward man. He talks to your inward man. That's where that knowledge is stored. That's why in Colossians it says, renewed in the knowledge of God in that new man. That inner man is where that knowledge of the Holy Spirit of truth goes. And what a mind of the Spirit you have, that spiritual mind can understand, comprehend, and store that truth. That's what a mind does. It stores the truth. It's the library, the treasure chest that holds the truth from heaven, from God himself. And now, because the inner man is born of God, you can understand him when he talks to you. You can comprehend what he's saying to you. But when I pray in tongues for 2 hours, Pastor Allen, I don't comprehend anything. I don't think differently. Everything's the same. It's not the same when you understand how transformation works. Back over to Romans chapter 8, verse 10. And if Christ is in you, that's the new nature, the body is dead because of sin. That's the outward man. That's your natural man. The natural mind is still left in the condition that it was found. But the Spirit is life because of righteousness. That word Spirit means your inner man. That's the new man. That's the inner body with its mind, emotions, and desires. It is alive because of righteousness. The new nature, the righteousness of the new nature brought to life, rebirthed that inner man. And now it's like a newborn baby when you're born again. It must now be fed the Word of God, be fed the truth of the Spirit of God. It must be fed the presence of God through worship, for it to grow and mature in who you are. That's the real you, that spiritual man. It has a soul in the spirit, a mind, emotions, and desires that are birthed of God, created by God in your rebirth, that now can love like Jesus, or I would say have the potential to love like Jesus, to have the peace of Jesus, have the knowledge that Jesus walked in. See, that is the inner man. It is born of God. Our churches have dropped the religion has caused us to just be barely saved. I'm just, thank God for His grace. I'm a dirty, rotten sinner, saved by His grace, going to heaven. Where Jesus wanted to spread Himself through us. There is one Jesus till the cross, then after the cross, that Jesus was to be multiplied through us. We are to be like Jesus. We are to love like Jesus, act like Jesus, be holy like Jesus was holy. That sounds impossible, and it is without transformation. And that's why many people get discouraged in the church world, because they pursue a level of Christ's holiness, a level of Christ's maturity, a level of Christ's anointing. They pursue it, but their relationship with the Holy Spirit is through their carnal man, and they're trying to get it from the Holy Spirit. Lord, give me strength. Lord, bless me. Lord, touch me. And it sounds nice. It sounds right. But how many of us have fell down on our knees in brokenness? Said, God, please take this from me. I don't want to be this way. I don't want to do that again. Please remove this desire out of me. Remove this sin out of me. Remove this brokenness out of me. God, please do it. Touch me. Zap me. And gone to prayer lines and given money, hoping that that anointing would touch us through our giving. We've all been down that path where it doesn't work. It sounds good. Lord, bless you. I'm going to pray for you that God will exalt your ministry. I'm going to pray for you that God will set you free from yourself. But yet it never works. It never works, because the carnal man isn't to be cleaned up. He's to be mortified. The inner man is where you are rebuilt. And how do we build up Christ in us? I'll give you another verse here. And I hope you're still understanding me. And if you haven't listened to my teachings, you probably have no idea what I'm talking about. But I'm here to teach the ones today who are already down this path a little bit. And all my teachings are for free, so make yourself available to them. In Galatians chapter 4, verse 19, Paul says, "My little children, for whom I labor in birth again until Christ is formed in you." So when you're saved, Christ isn't formed in you. You have the new nature, which is a seed of Christ. But now it must come forward in your job in transformation. That's your first job as a believer, not to win the world, but to be transformed. And you can win the world as you're being transformed. You don't have to wait till you're perfect. But your first job should be focusing on this transformation. My Lord God, you gave me a new life. I'm a new creature. I'm a new person. And I'm going to focus on developing that new person so Christ is formed in me. See, when you pray in the Holy Spirit, you worship God, you meditate the Word of God, your inner man begins to grow. That seed of the new nature, that seed of righteousness, begins to bring forward the image of who Christ is and begins to form Him in your inner man. And that's when the transformation takes place. Transformation takes place like this. Well, let me start with this. Transformation does not take place like this. Lord, touch me. Give me a revelation. It's not with the Holy Spirit on the outside doing something in you. It is you allowing the Holy Spirit to build Christ in you, in His knowledge, in His attributes of love, of holiness, that you're actually forming Christ in your inner man. And that's how transformation does take place, is you first build up the inner man. And then the inner man will knock on the door of the outward man and saying, no, you're wrong. In that moment, whether it's you're wrong in thinking, whether it's you're wrong in your actions, whether it's wrong in your ambitions, you then, the you part, gets to choose, who do I listen to? This renewed inner man that's growing up, do I listen to that kind of love, that kind of thought, that kind of agenda, or do I listen to the outward man? I remember when the Lord told me to stop ministering, don't work a job, just sit and pray and get to know me. That was a battle, and it was a battle between my inner man and my outward man. My outward man had 1,000 ideas of how to build a ministry, how to get successful, get more followers, how to get income from people in ministry, how to build my ministry and do for God what He called me to do. But then the instructions came to stop all that. Don't do any of that. Don't go preaching and don't even get a job. Sit and pray. And whew, that was a tough couple years of believing God for every penny, every day, every week. He was helping me to overcome a fear of unworthiness. I had a choice. Do I listen to the inner man and follow God into the prayer closet, sitting and praying? Or do I listen to the outward man's ideas of how to fix it? Let me tell you how sneaky the outward man is. I was in that moment. It was in January. We had enough money to get through January, but not enough money for February 1st, which was our mortgage. And our bills came the 1st and then the half of the month. And we didn't have enough money to get through the 1st of February. And the Lord had been dealing with me to stand down, to quit trying to fix it. And I remember saying, finally submitting, say, God, I give up. I don't want to be that kind of man that's always struggling and striving to make it happen. And how did I get there? By all the years of praying in tongues before. But I didn't notice it in the moment. It felt like it was me and God. And I said, God, I don't want to be that kind of man that's struggling and striving every month to survive. I'm just going to trust that I've heard your voice. I give up. I'm going to just pray and get to know you. I'm not going to worry about my finances. And if we go down, it will go down miserably. You know, if it's going to go down in flames, it'll go down with great flames if I missed you. If this is, because I always felt at that time of my life, I was a good man, but I was not that good. I was not worthy for God to provide for me. And I remember when I made that decision, I said, okay, that's it. I'm going to submit. And in 2 weeks, if we don't have the money for the mortgage, we don't have the money for the mortgage, but I'm going to follow you. And I heard this voice, God say to me, wonderful. Now you should doubly pray and fast over the next 2 weeks. And I thought, yeah, great idea. That's what I'll do. And then the same voice said, that wasn't me. That was your flesh. My flesh knows how to imitate God's voice. My outward man did not want to go down this path and sit and like a ventriloquist said, this is God. You should doubly pray and fast if you're going to make it. And the Lord said, that wasn't me. The same voice sounded like the same voice. That wasn't me. That's your flesh. He said, I wouldn't have asked you to take this step if you weren't already ready to go all the way. The transformation process, go back to Romans chapter 8, is the building of the inner man. And from the inner man being built, it begins to confront the counterfeit ideas, love, emotions, excitement, agendas of the soul of the outward man. That is how transformation takes place. When you get a revelation, say, God told me this. Well, on the path of the spirit of the inner man, outward man, it's not that the Holy Ghost told you from the outside and gave it to you. It's not that the Holy Ghost gave your outward man information. He doesn't speak to your outward man. It's that He spoke years ago or months ago in your prayer time. Those mysteries included that revelation of truth. And as it built up, it knocked on the door and picked a fight with the outward man. And then you were able to do what you always could have done, but were not strong enough or didn't know better. And that is to put away the outward man. I hope I'm making sense to you. Let's read this again as we wind down Romans 8. Verse 10, and if Christ is in you, the body is dead because of sin. So if Christ is in you, the outward body is dead because of sin, but the spirit, the inward body, is alive because of righteousness. But the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you. That's the new nature. He who raised Jesus Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his spirit which dwells in you. So here he's saying, I'm sorry I left you with an outward man, but I gave you a new inner man. Your spirit is Christ in you. The spirit is alive because of righteousness, but your outward man, your mortal body, is left dead. And then he says, but if the new nature is in you, who raised Jesus from the dead, dwells in you, then he will give life to your mortal bodies through that spirit which dwells in you, saying, I'm sorry I left you with this mortal, earthly, carnal, embarrassing meat body that fights you every day, tries to tell you what to do, gives you instructions, tries to lead you. But I promise you, in the end, when the trumpet sounds, I'm going to replace that outward body with a new outward body. So we can see here that this is the comparison, the inner man, the spirit, and the outward man, the body. Therefore, verse 12, we are debtors not to the flesh to live according to the flesh. For if you live by the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. That word Spirit is not the Holy Spirit. That word Spirit is the inner man. That's a picture of a matured, renewed inner man. That's more than just the new nature. The new nature is like a seed, and that's what brings forward the renewing from the new nature. The new nature brings forth the image of Christ in you. It builds and forms Christ in you as you pray in tongues, as you worship. And so one day you think a certain way about the scripture, makes sense, you've heard it preached that way your whole life, and then all of a sudden you say, wait a minute, that verse doesn't mean that. Well, it's not that you're that smart or your outward man's that smart to figure it out. The Holy Spirit taught your inner man when you were praying in tongues. Those mysteries went into the mind of the inner man. And when it began to build the truth that it was so strong that it could be stronger than the outward man, then it knocked on the door. See, it's by the inner man, the spirit. I'll say it this way. If by the inner man you put to death the deeds of the outward man, you will live. So it's not us praying in tongues and God changing our outward man, changing our thinking. He pours into your inner man. And as that inner man grows and matures, then it will begin to confront the outward man. Then you can choose. Do I want to stay down this road the same way I could have chosen in March and April to stop listening to God's instructions? I chose to obey and listen to the leading of my inner man that the Spirit gave me instead of listening to the wisdom of my outward man. I had to choose to listen, but in that was a mortification. That was part of transformation. Transformation takes place when you stop listening, thinking, feeling out of the outward man and you begin to think, feel, and live out of the inner man. That is the transformation. The transformation is you building up that new man, that spirit, that inner man, that inner body, with the knowledge of God. That's where the renewal takes place, in the inner man. And again, a lot of Christians, when the inner man confronts the outward man, these are people who talk in tongues, they don't understand how it works. They know that it does work. Like that young man knew that at the time that it worked, but then he saw a truth that I don't have to keep doing this stupid sin. I can just say no. No, I'm not doing it anymore. And he was free. He walked away from that sin. But then because he didn't know how it worked, he began to say, all that prayer was just a waste of time. That I just needed to choose to be like God. And that kind of became his message in that time when he taught it was, No, I just have to choose to love. I just need to choose to be like Christ. See, that's not transformation. And if he would have seen how it worked, then maybe he said, well, I got a great victory in this area, how many more victories am I going to find if I keep praying in the Holy Ghost, if I keep on this path of the spiritual man? How many more victories are ahead of me? Nothing is impossible. But he walked out of that into a carnal Christianity of living by you, doing what you can do for God. The transformation is first building up the new man. And then from that, you confront the outward man. The inner man will confront it for you. You don't have to pick the fight. The Holy Spirit will arrange everything. You just get to make choices when you see it. When you see that fight. When, oh, I used to think the scripture meant this, but I can now see that it means something better. Wow, the Holy Spirit just taught me a revelation. No, the Holy Spirit taught your inner man that revelation. Maybe months or years ago when you were praying in tongues. And then when it got that knowledge built up, it knocked on the mind of the flesh and said, hey, you know that way you feel about God? It's wrong. I had that happen with so many things. I'll give you one more example. I used to think that if I wanted money, I need to give money to be blessed. That I would plant a seed in an offering and I would get 100-fold in return. And so many offerings I gave for years when I didn't have a lot of money, I always gave in offerings. And then I heard Gary Carpenter teach that he gave when he felt led, and it freed me up because up to that point in my life, I had always spent giving money every opportunity, never missed a chance to give money. It's not a bad thing. But when he gave me that thought, I thought, wait a minute, you mean God will lead me in my giving? Because up to that point, my finances was with the finances I walked in today was determined by how much money I gave last year and the year before. And I began to see a picture of God as my Father, where He was my provider, not my giving. My giving was a fruit of my love and belief in Him, not an action to get Him to give me more. It sounds simple, but it was a very complex change in my understanding. Well, that revelation came because of all the hours and years I spent praying in tongues before. All of a sudden, I thought differently. Now, it feels like I just changed my thinking, you know, but no, that's not the renewing of the mind. Renewing of the mind is building up the inner man's knowledge with the truth of God, either through praying in tongues or reading the word. And then when that inner man's knowledge is complete, it will conflict with the outward man's knowledge of God, of life, of success, of everything. And then in that moment, you choose, who do I believe? And when you accept the inner man's truth, that is a mortification of the outward man's truth. That is what transformation is. I hope I'm making sense. I want to teach a little bit more on this before we get into the emotions of the inner man. I love you and so appreciate you taking time to grow with me and learn this stuff with me. I believe we're on a path to a revival that the world's never seen, and you and I are part of that. God bless you, and I'll see you again soon.